Good morning, ladies. How's everyone doing today? My name is Sonia Gross, and I'm a dietetic technician intern in the nutrition department here at Naval Hospital Camp Pendleton. And today I have the pleasure of talking to you about heart health. To begin, we're going to talk about heart disease, what it is, why it's important. We're going to talk about some risk factors for heart disease. And finally, we're going to talk about some ways to reduce your risk. So, what is heart disease? Many of you may have heard of cardiovascular disease, cerebrovascular disease, coronary heart disease, and you may not be sure how these terms relate to each other. So I wanted to begin by clarifying this so you'll get a little better understanding of what we're talking about. And cardiovascular disease is the grouping of 50 or more related problems with your blood vessels or heart. Okay, and cerebrovascular disease, which often results in stroke, is one type of cardiovascular disease. And another type of cardiovascular disease that you always hear about is coronary heart disease, or otherwise known as heart disease. So with cerebrovascular disease, you have a clogged artery that feeds the brain, and the brain no longer gets the nutrients and the oxygen it needs, which results in a stroke. And with coronary heart disease, a clogged artery that feeds your heart gets clogged, and your heart no longer gets the nutrients and oxygen it needs, and this results in a heart attack. So why is it important to keep your heart healthy? Well, it's important, number one, as we talked about, is because heart disease leads to heart attacks. And you can die from a heart attack, and so we don't want to increase our chances of dying. And every 38 seconds, someone dies from cardiovascular disease. Now, that's a very surprising number. And over 81 million American adults have one or more cardiovascular disease. And that's a large portion of the population. And the most important reason to keep our heart healthy is because heart disease is the number one killer of men and women in America. It kills more men and women in America than cancer, than chronic lower respiratory diseases, than cerebrovascular diseases, than accidents, Alzheimer's disease, diabetes, influenza, pneumonia, kidney disease, and suicide. Now, heart disease causes other health problems than just a heart attack, such as angina, which is a pain or discomfort in your chest, and it feels like a pressure or a squeezing pain. A heart failure is another result of heart disease. And this happens when your body becomes swollen because you can't pump enough blood to all your organs. Heart disease also leads to heart arrhythmias, which is changes in the beating of the heart, and this can be dangerous as well. And finally, because heart disease leads to heart attack, and although men and women both have heart disease, more women who suffer heart attacks die from them. Let's talk about some warning signs of a heart attack, because this is probably what most of you would be concerned about. And there are some symptoms that are common to both men and women, but there is also some symptoms that are more prevalent in women. So we're going to go over the symptoms for women, since we're all women here. So your head So anything in your head region, if you have lightheadedness, and this would occur, dizziness or lightheadedness, even while you're sitting. And when they're accompanied with other warning signs and chest pains, then it could be indicative of a heart attack. Also, another warning sign is pain, discomfort, or numbness in your arms, back, jaw, neck, and between your shoulders. And this kind of pain, what you want to do is you want to take one of your fingers and touch where you think the pain is. And if you can use your fingers to locate the pain with just one finger, then it's most likely not a heart attack. But if the pain feels like it's in a greater area than just a pinpoint of one of your fingers, you might be having a heart attack. Also, you want to time that pain, and if it lasts more than 60 seconds, then it's possible that you're having a heart attack. Your chest, if you have another symptom in your chest, if you have pain, pressure, fullness, or squeezing, that lasts more than a few minutes and it comes and goes. And also if you have a pain above your breastbone, your skin, on your skin, if you have a cold sweat, that's another symptom. And your lungs, if you have trouble breathing or shortness of breath, that's also a symptom of a heart attack. For instance, if you can't talk while walking, you know, at a normal pace, then you it's possible that you might be having a heart attack. Your stomach, if you have an upset stomach and you have nausea and you feel like you need to throw up, and if you take something for this and it doesn't go away, take antacids or food and it doesn't go away, then it's possible that you could be having a heart attack. And other warning signs include feeling very tired, extreme fatigue. Sometimes for days or weeks before a heart attack occurs, women may feel really tired. And also heartburn, cough, heart flutters, or loss of appetite. Now, these don't seem like you would think they're serious symptoms, but when you have one or more of these symptoms together, it's a very strong chance that you might be having a heart attack. So what you want to do is call 911 immediately, because time is of the essence. So far we talked about heart disease, and we also talked about what health problems it can cause. Now we're going to talk about what puts us at risk for heart disease. What causes it? There's two different types of risk factors for heart disease. There's the non-modifiable risk, the things we can't do anything about, and then there's the modifiable risk, the things we can control to help reduce our chances for heart disease. The non-modifiable risks include family history, gender, age, and ethnicity. So we have no control over these. So you're at a higher risk for heart disease if you have a premature relative, first degree relative, that has had coronary heart disease. And if you have a male, so for males that would be, for male relative that would be younger than 55 years old, and for a female relative that would be younger than 65 years old. And your gender, although both men and women do have heart disease, women are less likely to be diagnosed with it. And they're more likely to die from a heart attack than men are. Now, age is also a factor. For men, if you're older than 45 years of age, you have an increased chance of heart disease. And for women, if you're over 55 years old, you have an increased chance of heart disease. And also, your ethnicity plays a role. So African Americans, Mexican Americans, American Indians, and Alaskan Natives are at higher risk for heart disease. So we talked about what we have no control over, but let's talk about some of the items that we can control. Because 80% of cardiac events in women can be prevented. So some of our modifiable risks include cholesterol, diabetes, hypertension, smoking, sedentary lifestyle, and being overweight or obese. Our first modifiable risk, cholesterol, our cholesterol level. And cholesterol is the substance that builds up in the inner walls of the arteries and becomes plaque. And these plaques, they rupture and cause blood clots that can totally block the blood flow in the arteries. So it's really important that you know your cholesterol number, because when you have a high cholesterol number, you're at an increased risk for heart disease. And 47% of American adults have cholesterol levels that are too high. So if you know your numbers, you will know that your total cholesterol should be less than 200 milligrams per deciliter, and your LDL, or your bad cholesterol, should be, that your goals may vary depending on what your doctor recommends, but for the general public, you want to keep them less than 100 milligrams per deciliter. That's optimal. And anything above that is a high cholesterol. And you also want your HDL cholesterol levels, you want to keep that, this is your good cholesterol, so you want to keep these high. And this would, you want to keep at 50 milligrams per deciliter or higher, so it's better for your health. And your triglycerides, which are your lipids in your blood, you want to keep these low. You want to keep this below 150 milligrams per deciliter. Another modifiable risk is diabetes. And diabetes is the inability of the body to produce or respond to insulin. And this occurs at a higher incidence in Hispanic, African Americans, Native Americans, and Asians, especially the South Asians, at a higher rate than other ethnicities. And there's two types of diabetes. In the type 1 juvenile diabetes, usually begins early in life, and it's usually the result of an autoimmune disorder. But type 2 diabetes is usually, type 2 diabetes is the more prevalent kind you see here, and 90 to 95% of Americans diagnosed with diabetes have type 2 diabetes. Another modifiable risk is hypertension. So hypertension, it means high blood pressure. And what your blood pressure is the force of the blood pushing against the blood vessel wall. So hypertension is bad because it makes the heart work harder than it normally has to. And as a woman, if you're 20 pounds or more overweight, you have an increased risk of developing high blood pressure. And you may have heard too that hypertension is called the silent killer, because there's no signs or symptoms. The only way you usually discover you have high blood pressure is to get your blood pressure measured. It's important to know your numbers. So on your blood pressure reading, you have two numbers. You have your top number, your systolic, and your bottom number, your diastolic number. You want to keep your top systolic number below 120, and you want to keep your diastolic or bottom number below 80. And this is normal or healthy blood pressure. Once you start increasing either of those numbers, then you start getting into the hypertensive range, and you have high blood pressure. It's not good for your heart or your health. Another modifiable risk is smoking. And many of you know that smoking is not good for your health, but smokers have a 70% greater chance of developing cardiovascular disease. And women who smoke and take birth control pills are at an even greater risk of having a heart attack or stroke, especially if they're older than 35 years old. Another modifiable risk is having a sedentary lifestyle. So if you come home from work and you had a long day and you're tired and, you know, maybe you have a desk job, you don't move around much at work, and you sit down on your couch when you get home to relax and watch TV and eat some dinner, and you don't move around and you're not very active, then this is considered a sedentary lifestyle, and it negatively impacts your health and it increases your risk for heart disease. The final modifiable risk is being overweight or obese. And being overweight is having a weight that's higher than your ideal weight. But being obese is categorized as having a weight that's 20% above your normal weight range. And recent data from the CDC shows that 68% of American adults are either overweight or obese. So that's nearly two-thirds of the American population are not at their ideal weight. They weigh too much. And 34% of American adults are obese. So around a third of the U.S. population are extremely overweight. And many health professionals use BMI, which is your body mass indicator. We use this as a reference for your health. And basically what it is your weight. And usually the standard formula is weight in kilograms over your height in meters squared. But if we convert everything to pounds and inches, we end up with weight in pounds times 703 over height in inches squared. So what we do is we input each person's data and we come up with a BMI for that person. And we use these BMIs to indicate their health status. So if you have a BMI that's too low, which is about 18.5 or lower, then you're considered underweight. That's not healthy. And being overweight is not healthy, but being underweight is not healthy as well. But your normal range you want to be in is 18.5 to 25. So this is your healthy range. And when you have a BMI 25 to 30, that's considered overweight. And if you have a BMI of 30 or more, that's considered obese. And the reason you want to be in the healthy range is because once you're outside of that, you have an increased risk for certain diseases such as heart disease, high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, gallstones, bleeding problems, and certain cancers, breathing problems. So far we've talked about heart disease, we talked about what it is, and we've also talked about why it's important and some of the modifiable risks, the things that increase our chance for heart disease. Now let's talk about what we can do to prevent heart disease. There's a couple of important things you can do to help decrease your risk for heart disease. You can eat healthy. You can also lose weight if you're overweight. You can stop smoking if you're smoking. You can exercise. You can have time, set aside time for relaxation and stress reduction. And you may also need medication. So I think one of the most important things you can do for your health, your heart health, or your health in general is to eat healthy. And A healthy diet can positively affect your cholesterol levels, your diabetes condition, your hypertension, and your obesity. Let's talk a little bit about a healthy meal. Many of you, you may know about your health. You may know some ideas about what a healthy meal is. I just want to clarify for you. So a healthy meal is something that is our foods that are adequate, which means that they provide enough energy, nutrients, and fibers for your, and fiber for your health. A varied diet, you want your healthy meals are varied, which means that you have an abundance of different foods. You don't eat the same food over and over each day because different foods have different nutrients. So you want to make sure that you get a variety of foods so you get all the different nutrients that you need. Healthy meals are balanced meals, which means that they contain a combination of the foods that provide proper balance of nutrients. So you want to have all the nutrients you need, and you want to have them in the right amount. Healthy meals are also moderate meals, which means you want to make sure you're not eating too much. You want to eat the right amount of food. You don't want to eat too much. You don't want to eat too little. So the USDA has recommendations on what a healthy diet consists of. And this can be found at www.choosemyplate.com. So the Choose My Plate recommendations, it was formerly called, you may have seen the My Pyramid, but now it's called the Choose My Plate. They recommend that fruits you should consume. Well, the recommendations vary according to age, gender, and level of physical activity, but these are generally true for women that are 30 years old and above. So your fruits, you want to have 1.5 cups of fruit per day. You want to have 2 to 2.5 cups of vegetables. You want to have 5 to 6 ounce equivalents of grains, and you want to make half of those whole grains, at least half. You should also have 5 ounce equivalents of protein and 3 cups of dairy. And for your oils or fats, you want to keep that to 5 teaspoons or below. So if you were to look at your plate for any meal, this is what your plate should look like. You should have approximately half of your plate should be fruits and vegetables, and the other half should be the protein and grains. And there's some specific diet recommendations, particularly for your heart health. And the recommendations are you limit your total fat to 25 to 35% of the calories you eat. So if you're eating a 2,000 calorie a day diet, you want to keep your fat intake between 50 and 75 grams. It's also important that you limit your saturated fats and your trans fat. Now, saturated fats are their fats that are hard at room temperature, and those include fatty meat, poultry skin, bacon, sausage, whole milk, cream, and butter. And your trans fats, these are hydrogenated oils or hydrogenated fats, and these include stick margarine, shortening, some fried food, and packaged food made with hydrogenated oil. You also want to limit your cholesterol that you eat to less than 200 milligrams a day. So you want to keep your cholesterol down. You want to limit that to 200 milligrams a day. And the sources of cholesterol include egg yolks, fatty meat, whole milk, shrimp, cheese, lobster, and crab. Some more heart healthy diet recommendations include limiting sodium to less than 2,000 milligrams per day. So you want to keep your salt intake down. So you don't want to add salt to your foods on the table. But there's also sources of hidden salt that you might not know about. Canned products are high in salt, processed products, and fast foods. Those all tend to be high in sodium. You also want to make sure that you're getting 20 to 30 grams of dietary fiber per day. So you should be getting approximately 14 grams of fiber per every 1,000 calories that you're eating. So to increase your fiber content, just make sure that you're eating fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and dried beans. So these are good sources of fiber. You can also, for heart health, you can also eat more omega-3 fats. And these omega-3 fats are found in salmon, tuna, mackerel, sardines. So you want to try to eat fish twice a week to get some more omega-3 fats for your heart health. Walnuts, canola, soybean oils, and flaxseed also are plant sources of omega-3 fats, just in case you're vegetarian. Those were some dietary recommendations. Those were some diet recommendations. And now I'm going to give you some dietary changes that you can, these are little things that you can incorporate into the way you cook or plan your meals that will help you to improve your heart health. So a good option is to plan to eat more plant-based meals using beans and soy foods for protein. You should also use low-fat cooking methods such as baking, broiling, stewing, stir-frying, and roasting. Another good option is to drain the fat off of cooked ground meat, or you can substitute ground turkey for ground beef. So when you're cooking your meat, you know, drain all the fat off before you put it on a plate. You should also remove the skin from the chicken since this is a big source of saturated fat. And you can practice low-fat cooking, which means you're cooking with your non-stick cookware and you're using a vegetable or olive oil spray rather than just pouring more oil into the pan. When you're cooking meat, make sure that you use the lean cuts of meat. And these ones have the word loin around in their name. And when you are preparing your meat and you see visible pieces of fat in your meat, the saturated fat, just cut the fat off before you start cooking. And another important change you can make is to use herbs rather than salt to season your food. You can also use low-fat and non-fat cheeses and dairy products rather than the full-fat version. And when you're sauteing food, you can use broth rather than oil to saute your food. And when you're baking when you're baking, use recipes that call for whole grains and flours made from whole grains. You can also make sure that you're eating adequate amounts of fiber from your whole grain sources, like fruits and vegetables. And you should also cut back on foods and beverages with added sugars. Keep an eye on your portion sizes. And if you drink alcohol, drink in moderation. For women, this means no more than one drink per day. So let's take a look at this. We just went over some ways to make your diet a little healthier. So looking at this meal we have here, the spaghetti and meatballs, what would you recommend that we do to make this diet a little heart healthier? Thank you. That's right. We could add more vegetables. We can saute some vegetables into the sauce, or we can blend them into the sauce, maybe so you won't even notice they're there. And for the pasta, we can change that out to make it more, to have more fiber. We can add, we can change that to wheat pasta, whole wheat pasta. And the meatballs, well, we can take the meatballs and change that to turkey, ground turkey, lean ground turkey. And that Parmesan cheese on the top, we can make sure that that's low fat or fat free Parmesan cheese. And I've also included a couple of heart healthy recipes in your handouts for you. So we talked about diet now and how we could, how diet will help us to reduce our chances for our risk for heart disease. Let's talk about weight loss now. A 10% rate reduction in your weight can decrease your blood pressure, lower your blood pressure, and reduce your risk of diabetes. So, losing weight is good for your health. And if you're at your ideal weight, it's not necessary for you to lose weight. But if you're overweight, losing weight can help reduce your risk for heart disease. Also, smoking. So we talked about smoking as being a risk for heart disease. So if you stop smoking, then you can decrease your risk for heart disease. Another important thing you can do is to exercise. So if you had a sedentary lifestyle before, you don't move around much, you want to make sure that you get up and exercise. And the Surgeon General recommends that people have 30 minutes on most, if not all days, to optimize their health. And you should get at least 150 minutes of moderate physical activity per week to reduce your risk for heart disease. Another important thing you can do to reduce your risk for heart disease is relaxation. So you need to practice relaxation or stress reduction. You can reduce your stress or learn to relax by getting enough sleep. It's really important that you get the right amount of sleep for your body so it has time to rest and recover. You also want to talk with your friends. You want to talk frequently with your friends or other support groups. And this helps reduce our stress levels as well. Yoga is a great stress reduction technique. There's videos, or you can go to classes to learn yoga. And you can also learn relaxation methods such as massages or breathing exercises. Those can help to relax you. And it's also important that you learn to take a break from your work. So I know that a lot of times people work long, hard hours, but people who work more than 11 hours increase their risk of heart attack or dying from heart disease by 67%. So that shows you that stress or not getting enough relaxation has a huge impact on your heart health. Another thing you can do for your heart health is to take medication. But you should always consult your doctor before you're trying any kind of regimen, even exercise. Exercise or medicine. You want to make sure that your doctor agrees with this. So it's been recommended that to lower your chances for heart disease that you take 80 to 160 milligrams per day. And if you have high blood pressure, you might have to take some blood pressure medications to help lower your blood pressure, such as diuretics or beta blockers, calcium channel blockers, or your ACE inhibitors. And also, if you have high cholesterol, you might need to take some cholesterol medications to lower your cholesterol levels, such as your statins, your niacin, bile acid resins, or fibric acid derivatives, or cholesterol absorption inhibitors. So, we've talked about some of these lifestyle changes that you can make to improve your heart health and to reduce your risk for heart disease. We talked about your nutrition, and why that's so important is because it can affect your cholesterol levels, it can affect your diabetes, it can affect your hypertension, and it can affect your obesity. So it's really important that you eat healthy for your heart health. You can also stop smoking if you're smoking, and you can get moving. Make sure that you get that daily exercise in there. And make sure that you take your time to relax and practice stress reduction techniques. And if this is applicable to you, when you check with your doctor, make sure that you you check with your doctor first. You may be able to take some medications that may help reduce your risk for heart disease. So if you have any other further nutritional concerns, you may want to contact the outpatient clinic for Naval Hospital Camp Pendleton. And the phone number is 760-725-1244. They're open Monday through Friday from 8 to 6. And I'd like to thank you today for your time and attention. And I'd like to ask if anybody has any questions or comments.